ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more. It keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily. 5 apps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
They beat a very difficult team, a great team like it's Turkey, and only we can show, like when was the draw, our full respect to them, but in the same time, we want to beat them, and we are ready to fight.
USA's Argentine coach Mauricio Pochettino on the Socceroos. Fighting words. Kinda. Ahead of Australia's most anticipated football clash in decades, there was a little bit to glean from the respective coaches. I mean, Pochettino spoke about how the rough practice game with Australia had provided a wake-up call for his team and put them on notice about the Socceroos and their physicality. We wonder whether that same physicality might see him rest injured star Christian Pulisic. As for Tony Popovich, cards close to chest, but he does see this game as another chance to put Australia on the world football map. We're crossing to Seattle to get the latest. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Jack Snape writes football for The Guardian. He's in Seattle. Lucky duck ahead of Australia's blockbuster clash against the United States of America. Jack, Tony Popovich, Harry Souter, they held their press conference pre-game. They were dry. More on them in a second, because maybe a bit sexier was the US press conference. The biggest storyline right now feels like whether the best player on either team, Christian Pulisic, will play. What's the sense you're getting from Mauricio Pochettino, the manager, and Team USA?
We heard Mauricio Pochettino today at the pre-match press conference be fairly evasive. He was asked whether Christian Pulisic was fit enough to play.
We have a meeting with our medical area, and we will assess the whole group, the players, and tomorrow we will communicate this and see all the things that can, you know, agree tonight. He's evolving. He's much better from Friday. We'll see.
Didn't give us a lot of specifics, which lends weight to the likelihood that the winger, who only played a half in their first match against Paraguay before being taken off, it sounds like there's a really high likelihood now that he won't play, that he might be saved for later in the tournament as the US look to go deeper, which would create, a major talking point ahead of this highly anticipated clash in Seattle against the Socceroos.
It was so interesting to me to hear Pochettino speak about the physicality of the friendly with Australia earlier in the year.
When you play non-official game, it's completely different. The games become more street games, no friendlies. A street game that are not friendly.
People who watched that game would know that Pulisic got the crap kicked out of him and picked up a hamstring injury in the process. It was sort of attributed to that physicality. Would a desire to protect their star player from the Socceroos play into the thinking at all?
Look, certainly. The Socceroos are known to be one of the more physical teams at the tournament. And that match last year in Denver has been highlighted as a really key match or key moment in the building momentum of Pochettino's team and Pochettino's management of this US team. That night they came back from 1-0 down against the Australians to win 2-1.
Ball over the top. Hadji Wright runs away, looks to turn inside, does so and finishes with aplomb. Well, it was all too simple for the US, who retake the lead.
Pochettino gave a rousing halftime address that has been credited with turning that match around and securing the victory. But the memories of that match are fresh in everyone's mind. And the treatment that Pulisic got from the Australian midfield, fair few kicks. But it was actually a hamstring injury that led to his substitution. He missed 3 or 4 weeks with it. But it was one of 4 injuries that Pulisic suffered in the past season. So, look, there are some concerns around his ability to get through this tournament, particularly given this calf complaint that he appeared to pick up against Paraguay?
Yeah, I just got a bit of a kick in the first half, so I'm really hoping that it's nothing. Taking a little bit of precaution today, but I'm hoping I'll be fine with the experience.
As the US, you know, look to go deep, you know, whether it's the quarterfinals or beyond, they know they need Pulisic at those later stages. And having already got that win against Paraguay, I can't see any reason to risk him against the bully boys of the Socceroos if they can avoid it.
It's a trope they don't always like, the Australians, sort of been having the physicality spoken about. If Pulisic doesn't play, is that going to skew things, you know, dramatically in Australia's favour? Or does it also speak to the level of quality and the depth of quality in this American team that they can carry his out?
Pulisic's a classy player, right? Star in the Serie A for AC Milan. Was great at, well, up and down, but sometimes great at Chelsea before then. And his role within this US team is really important. He's a skillful player, inverted winger on the left, offers a threat both going down the sideline and crossing in, but also coming in and finding space between the lines. And so that versatility and that class, look, it would be a huge asset for the US against Australia, trying to break down what is expected to be a fairly defensive side, defensive approach from the Australians, adopting a low or medium-low block, as they say. But if he doesn't play, the US still have some great options. You know, someone like Tim Weah could come in, you know, a more athletic, rugged player who usually plays on the right. They would have to change their midfield mix a bit, but it's clearly they've still got great depth. And whoever they pick, whether it's Pulisic or whether it's some of these other players, the Socceroos have a lot to worry about tomorrow in Seattle.
Hey, for all the smack talk from your Grellas, your Donovans, your Alexi Lalases, I thought it was kind of instructive to see the level of respect from America's manager in the press conference today when sort of talking about Australia.
That Australia is going to be a really tough opponent. Good player, good organisation, great coach.
It sounds as though for all our desire to paint ourselves as the underdogs, and I think we are that, they're not really taking the Socceroos lightly. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So Pochettino, I think the biggest compliment he gave the Socceroos today was about their level of belief.
But for me, it's the mentality, coach mentality. You know, Popovic, that I was talking with him in Devon, and I really appreciate him and really like him. The mentality of the whole team. I think they create a great mentality, and it's difficult to play with a team that really believe in what they are doing.
But it's also a bit of a backhanded compliment, right? It's not like he's saying we've got the most skillful players or, you know, they've got these other incredible characteristics that are going to threaten. You know, Australia is a team with belief. But by the same token, I feel like Pochettino does recognise that for his own team, belief is really important, particularly to make the most of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as hosts of this World Cup. And so you might think belief might be a bit of a criticism. I think deep down he knows how important belief is for his team, and that's what he respects when it comes to Australia.
Tony Popovic and Harry Soutar spoke to the press today. And Mark Schwarzer was saying to us yesterday, this is the most anticipated Socceroos game since the Uruguay game of 05. And, you know, with that backdrop, I was enthralled to see what Popovic was going to say at this press conference. I nearly fell asleep, Jack. It was so dry. And do you know what? That's kind of the beauty of Popovic, isn't it? But is there a main theme that we can take from what was, as I say, a pretty circumspect press conference?
Yeah, try listening to the press conference when you've only had 3 hours sleep. It was, yeah, a little bit underwhelming, the press conference today from Popovic and Soutar. To give you some sense of this Seattle press environment, we've got so many American journalists here, maybe up to 100 at this press conference, probably about double what the Socceroos were facing last week ahead of their match against Turkey in Vancouver. And so there was so much expectation. You know, this is a great chance for, you know, the Australians, Popovic and Soutar, to really make a name for themselves, because, you know, these grabs or whatever they say here is going to be carried on all the American TV channels over the next 24 hours. But they only spoke for 15 minutes. By comparison, Pochettino spoke for 30 by himself just an hour or so before. The content of what they said was also a little bit underwhelming.
Different challenge, different different teams. Turquia were more European style in terms of their technical build-up, slower build-up, fantastic possession. I think the US team has a good mix of the two.
Not a lot of talk up about, you know, the contest compared to last week before the Turkey match, where Popovic spoke about, you know, Australia being underdogs and them wanting to spoil the party that everyone fancies Turkey. They didn't really get into any of that. I had my hand up desperately asking the Australian media manager for a question because I wanted to ask just that, whether the Australian mentality is like last week, that they want to spoil the party. Because this is, if last week was a party for Turkey, this week is an extraordinary party for the United States. And they just didn't really get into that, which was a bit of a disappointment. They did speak a lot about belief, though.
Yeah, in terms of the belief side of things, I think it's just looking around the dressing room and looking beside you, who you're walking out into the pitch with, and seeing the threats that we've got on our team. We've got some really exciting players, some young, hungry players, mixed with that experience as well. So, you know, when you blend that together, it makes for a good starting 11.
But the most interesting thing they addressed was probably in relation to the two warm-up games they chose. They played Mexico in Los Angeles in front of an unfriendly, huge, noisy crowd.
It was a great dress rehearsal. I think both games were, as Harry alluded to earlier, the Mexico game playing in front of almost 80,000 people, pretty much everyone against you in the stadium. So that was a good little test for us. And then the Switzerland game playing at 12. Yeah, we tested logistically how that would look for us for this match, and we got some learnings from that, and we've put them in place for this game.
Look, they feel like they're pretty well prepared, and it did sound like Popovic and Sutar didn't want to say too much to upset those preparations in that press conference today.
One thing that was huge ahead of the opener was the selection bombshells that dropped day of the game, just maybe an hour out from kickoff. And I wondered whether, you know, Popovic would be asked about that. I love the fact that no one even bothered, such as his capacity to play poker. Like, no one's even going to try and pry, you know, a selection tip from the manager because he's simply not going to offer it. You've been around the group, though. You've seen the condition of these players. If you had to sort of do some forecasting, are you getting any sort of sense of players who maybe are going to be rotated out or rotated in?
Well, I think it's a little bit similar to the US and Pulisic and their belief that they might be here for 3, 4, 5 matches and not wanting to ruin the physical condition of their players too soon. We saw after that last match against Turkey, the following day, Aidan O'Neill was just walking gingerly around the training paddock while the rest of the squad did a light training session. He's fit and ready to go against the US.
Firstly, everyone's fit and available, which is a real positive for us.
There is some depth in that midfield for the Socceroos, and it wouldn't be a surprise to see someone like Jackson Irvine come in, whether it is for O'Neill or indeed Okhonengsler. Paul Okhonengsler, who performed really well against Turkey, but is also a young player. So could be some movement there, and also in that forward line, the front three, where we saw last week Nestor Iheanacho come off after about an hour. There's a question mark over whether he can put in a 90-minute stint and whether he's better off starting the match or coming off the bench. So there's a potential there for some changes, you know, given, you know, we saw someone like Nishan Volupele or Matt Leckie in the warm-up matches. Look, we've got a pretty deep squad with few real standout players, so it would be prudent for Tony Popovic to balance the physical load across that squad, particularly given whatever happens against the US, Australia will still be in the battle for the knockout stage in that third match against Paraguay. So better not to roll the dice with all these players in this second match, knowing that there could be a few more matches down the track.
Just finally, vibes. Seattle, hit me. You know, a great sports town. You know, no doubt a swathe of Socceroos fans rolling through. They're going to be deeply outnumbered at the actual game. But what is the atmos?
I've been here for about 6 hours. I must have seen at least 100 yellow shirts already. I don't know how these travelling fans do it, how many Socceroos shirts they've got in their suitcases. It was great to see the Australian presence already. It's a terrific town here, particularly the proximity of the stadium to downtown. It's a 15-20 minute walk from the center of city down to the stadium. And the stadium is, it's a beautiful looking building. Seattle Seahawks play here, Super Bowl champions, known to be one of the loudest venues in the country. So it's going to be rocking on Friday here locally when this match gets going. It's a total marquee match, right? This could be a pivotal day for Australian football. When do you have the opportunity to demonstrate to a global audience that you are serious about this tournament? And if they can knock off the US, they're going to be the subject of a whole heap of discussions from the global media in the next week. So, yeah, let's see if they can do it.
Stakes high. We love it. Cannot wait for this. Socceroos USA blockbuster. Jack Snape, thank you so much.
Awesome, Pat.
Headlines. A big morning for the co-hosts. Mexico sent their fans into ecstasy with a 1-0 win over South Korea. It was a goalkeeping howler that ensured the hosts took the lead. Target was Jimenez. Kim sprawling out. He spills it. It's turned in. Luis Romo has broken through. The Chivas player scores in the World Cup. Earlier in Vancouver, it was a sea of red as Canada dismantled Qatar 6-0. Visitors copped two red cards, including one for an absolutely filthy tackle on Ismail Kone that left him with a suspected broken leg. The Canucks refused to let that news ruin the party as they scored goal after goal after goal.
Saliba, so tempting to pull the trigger. He does. Flag stays down. It's a World Cup hat-trick on home soil for Jonathan David. And Canada make it six.
It looked super, super fun. Earlier, Czechia and South Africa drew 1-1, and Switzerland thumped Bosnia and Herzegovina 4-1. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Paramount Plus and SBS for the extra audio used in this episode.